Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Eagle Hour, and we're glad you're with us around the state wherever you're tuned in. Opening segment of the Eagle Hour every day is sponsored by our good friends at Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Just heard their commercial, and I just want to remind you what great people those guys are and how they will help you with everything you need for your next catering event. And, of course, they serve delicious food 24/7, just about. Now, they're not open 24 hours a day, but just about. And 7 days a week, you can enjoy great Dickey's Barbecue. All right, Patrick McGee is in New Orleans. He is now with NOLA.com. If I got that right, Patrick?
Yeah, that's the simplest way to put it. You get calls about three or four different things, but NOLA.com probably is the easiest way to say it.
And are you in the Big Easy today?
Yes, I am. I'm actually sitting here. If it sounds echoey, I'm sitting inside of an empty apartment right now. I've been over here cleaning it. I smell like Pine Sol and bleach. New Orleans is feeling pretty empty right now. A lot of people haven't made it back, so it's kind of an eerie feeling being back in the city.
Just curious, are the lights on in your part of New Orleans?
Yeah, mine came on Monday night. And up and down Magazine, I think it's been a little bit of a struggle in certain pockets to get the lights on. There's still, you see some light poles down, wires hanging in the street. The drive over was a little sobering. A lot of those apartments in New Orleans East really got torn up. Once you get into New Orleans proper, really everything made it out okay. But you see a lot of trees down, a lot of limbs in the streets, and people are slowly cleaning up.
I got you. All right, Patrick. Well, we're glad you're getting moving in. Obviously, not a good week for Southern Miss football, as the Golden Eagles are, I think it's fair to say, kind of spanked by South Alabama. You know, when you were on the show last week, you made a comment that I thought was so true. You said Southern Miss is expected to beat South Alabama and Louisiana Monroe, schools like that, based on their history. But, Patrick, two in a row by South Alabama.
Yeah, a lot of history I spoke of has kind of diluted, and not to discount what Southern Miss has done, but in the last decade, it's a new era of college football with so many new programs on board, including South Alabama. Louisiana Lafayette was basically irrelevant, 8, 9, 10 years ago, and now they're, obviously beating Southern Miss for some recruits in Louisiana and elsewhere. They're playing really good football. So, yeah, losing like they did at South Alabama. I mean, last year was pretty bad, but this past Saturday was worse in terms of how badly they were beaten. And it was pretty surprising. I wasn't that surprised to see the offense struggle from the outset. It looked like they had some key pieces not in the mix. And, everybody kind of expected a lot out of Trelo this season. I did as well. But I was also always wondering if he was going to have that consistency from week to week, because obviously we didn't see that last season. We just saw it in the season finale. So, can he bounce back and build some confidence this week is crucial for his season going forward.
Patrick, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the guys yesterday on the show, and I think it's kind of a question that people don't want to hear in a sense. But obviously this new coach is coaching – a large majority of the players he did not recruit. Is there enough talent on this Southern Miss football team to compete right now for a conference championship?
No, I wasn't under that impression you know, coming into the season know. You know, I've pointed out multiple times before that, you know, Southern Miss has got a fair amount of players back who maybe, you know, thanks to the COVID season, they're able to come back, you know, Arvin Fletcher, guys like that. But there's a lot of teams that have players like that coming back. And then you look at South Alabama and what they were able to do through the transfer portal with their quarterback and other things. They really, you know, I think hit on a lot of the right spots they needed and got in really good transfers. And Southern Miss got in, you know, with the guys they added, they were just kind of filling gaps here and there trying to build depth. But, you know, it's like somebody like a South Alabama added difference makers through the transfer portal. And, you know, there's a lot of experienced teams out there thanks to the COVID season. And Southern Miss just you know, even though they have plenty of experience, they just don't have that quality depth, just overall numbers at, you know, at most positions that a lot of teams are going to have. I mean, Southern Miss is going to be capable of maybe getting a sixth win if they get things going, but it's going to be a tough Saturday every week. It's going to be nothing can be taken for granted.
All right, let's get in here with the professor.
Patrick, where's the more overconfidence? Overconfidence in the fan base that this could be fixed ASAP, more or overconfidence maybe perhaps among the coaching staff? I mean, I was proud of the defense. I thought the defense, we knew they were going to take some shots on the outside and we were going to get burned with pressure. And, you know, that happened. I guess offensively, was there too much overconfidence maybe on both sides thinking that, you know, they could come out and, you know, score 30, 35 a game?
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought this was going to be a team that needed to score, you know, 28 a week at least to have a really good shot to win football games. You know, a defense that can maybe hold them to 21, 24 points roundabout. And that probably would have happened this past Saturday if the offense had really produced much at all. You know, so I think the defense is probably about what you would expect. Is just the offense did absolutely underperform. You know, I saw some names missing from the box score. Like, I'm not plugged in like I used to. So I'm not really sure what the case is. But, you know, to not have Brownlee really out there or contributing is a big deal. So, going forward, there's got to be concern about the offense. And Frank Gore is obviously going to produce pretty much every week, or are they going to have a consistent passing game? That's really what it comes down to, and that passing game was pretty bad statistically a week ago.
Yeah, Brownlee, I think he had two targets and maybe three targets. He had two drops and didn't have a catch, to your point. I guess, you know, I went back and examined more, and this whole sky is falling deal. You know, you mentioned 28 points. That's what they were in line to get. They had to punt on South Alabama's side of the field after a fumble, but they fumbled the ball twice. Inside the 10-yard line, one was a giveaway. The other was a fourth down they recovered, but it was a turnover on downs. And then they had a punt return that was called back for a hold. So, I mean, that was 28 points. And you take away the pick six and, you know, Southern Miss wins 28-24. That's kind of the way that I saw it. So, you know, I guess that's a silver lining. The box score is 31-7. That's the final. But I think some of the sky is falling. You know, the earth is caving in. It's over. I think that's probably spoken way too soon.
Yeah. No, there's no point in giving up now and saying, well, you know, we'll get them next season. That's not the way you look at it. I mean, Trey Lowe is capable of going out there and putting together a good game, as we've seen before out of that Florida Atlantic contest. And throughout the spring and fall, he looked really steady back there. Not always consistent passing the ball in practice, just from what I've seen. But he's perfectly capable. They're just going to figure out, you know, the best way to put him in position to succeed. And eventually they'll get it. You know, eventually they'll find a way to make this offense move. You know, and this week's it's really important that it starts this week against a team like this if they're going to kind of get some momentum at least some point going through the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Patrick, I want to congratulate my partner on finding a way to pull out a 28-24 win with what happened Saturday night. I hope that optimism stays with him.
No, but seriously, I mean, tell me where I'm wrong on that. Tell me where I'm wrong on that. That was three touchdowns that were left on the field, and you take away the pick six with a minute left, it's 28-24.
Patrick, yeah, well, I mean, you're the sports writer, Patrick. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, all you got to do is go back to the stat line on Trey Lowe. I mean, there just wasn't anywhere close to what you need out of that. And if the passing game's not is going to be like that, it's going to, you know, they're going to be putting up 7 or 10 or 14 points a week. So, if they get the passing game remedied, they'll be fine. But you got to have some balance back there, and they didn't have it. So once they figure out the balance, I think we're going to see 28 points.
Right, and this week should be a good week to get better. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, it absolutely has to be. This is a big week, and Grambling is a solid team. At their level, but this is a week. This is a game that Southern Miss should win handily.
Can Grambling come in and compete with a Division I team?
I think so. I mean, just everything I've seen out of Grambling in recent seasons. I'm not that familiar with them this year, but what Fobbs has done there, the former Southern Miss assistant, he's built a pretty competitive program. Put them kind of back in a point where they compete consistently in the SWAC, and I think they brought in quality players. And Fobbs is a good coach. He really should have been the offensive coordinator in Ellis Johnson's one season, but that staff had all kinds of issues beyond that. But, Fobbs was obviously one of the better pieces of that staff, and he's got a good thing going at Grambling.
All right, can you stick around just a little bit, Patrick? I want to get your thoughts about New Orleans kicking off their season and the NFL starting this week.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Patrick McGee's in the big city of New Orleans, and he'll be back on the Eagle Hour right after this.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I want to thank our good friends out at Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net for their sponsorship of the Eagle Hour. And you know that if you want to buy some Southern Miss apparel, that's where you need to go. Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, the big black and yellow building. You can't miss it. You can also shop at campusbookmart.net. All right, we've got our good buddy Patrick McGee, the professor. He's live from New Orleans, Louisiana this afternoon. We're going to talk about the Saints and what all is coming up there. But first, Patrick, Luke had a really interesting question he wanted to follow up with you about on facilities in college athletics. Go ahead, Luke.
Yeah, Patrick, so I was sitting in Hancock Whitney Stadium looking over, I guess it would have been the west side of the stadium, the home side, and I saw the brand-new indoor facility that South Alabama has. It's really nice. It's not a traditional indoor because it is open-sided, but, I heard the figure somewhere, maybe $6 to $8 million is what it would take, for that to be done, and I could be off on that number. Anyway, Southern Miss does not have an indoor. When I played, the indoor was the rock because it had turf. It seems that's the case now. Bad days, we would do walk through during in the Payne Center. But, you're in New Orleans now. You see Tulane. You've seen, obviously, with LSU, which is an unfair comparison. But, I mean, when you look at schools like South Alabama, like, bluntly, how far behind is Southern Miss on facilities?
Pretty significantly when it comes to football. Obviously, prior to their football stadium being open, South Al was at a disadvantage because they were playing off campus. But in terms of indoor facility and everything else, it does put South Alabama ahead, in recruiting and just preparation in general. Southern Miss always has to work outdoors. You're right. They go inside the stadium because they've got turf. But I would think it'd be a fairly simple, of course, getting the money is a hard thing, but just to cover one of the two practice fields there at the just outside the athletic department building, and that would make a big difference. It would, absolutely. But obviously, a lot of schools like Southern Miss are facing difficult financial times, still dealing with the pandemic and everything that comes with it, and just the drop in attendance. So it's got to happen for Southern Miss to compete with Tulane's, the Southern Misses, and we all see what UAB has got going now. They've got a really good thing with their new football stadium, and they keep investing in facilities at UAB. In terms of football, Southern Misses have been able to make modest investments that can make a difference, whether it's a nutrition center, upgrading the weight room over the years. They've been able to do that, but they at some point there has to be a significant investment, I think, in a practice facility And at some point, I think they're going to have to put a little money into the football stadium again. It's something as simple as putting a new press box in. I can speak from a distance. That really needs to be completely rebuilt just to make it more modern. And being able to do, you know, national TV broadcasts is really kind of difficult. It was never really a problem for me on the, you know, on what I did, but in terms of TV broadcasts, they were able to do some things to kind of fix some leaks and stuff like that over the years. But the press box really needs to be completely redone. I know that's something the fans don't really think about, but there has to be money put into the stadium and in the practice facilities.
Patrick, you named two schools that have surpassed USM in facilities, UAB and South Alabama. Both have medical schools. To what degree does that play into this?
Yeah, I guess Tulane has medical school as well.
Tulane as well, right.
Yeah. I mean, those are schools with money. You know, those are, you know, they turn out boosters that have a little extra cash laying around. And, you know, we all know that Southern Miss is a school that turns out a lot of wealthy people. Of course, there's plenty of wealthy people comes out of Southern Miss, not anywhere near as much as a Tulane or a UAB, I would say. You just look at what South Alabama's done. You know, that basketball facility's been there a long time now. That's still top-notch. They've got the football stadium, the facility, you know, the practice facility, baseball stadium is perfectly fine, one of the better ones in the region as well, along with Pete Taylor Park. So, yeah, I mean, facilities-wise, you know, you've got a lot of schools in the region that now have a leg up on Southern Miss.
Right, and UAB has a practice facility downtown, and I understand building a new football stadium as well. So that obviously is a dilemma. All right, Patrick, about 5 minutes left in the segment. Let's move on to the NFL. It kicks off Thursday night, and then the New Orleans Saints. The Saints get beat up so much by hurricanes. Here they are on the road again. We're going to open at home against the Green Bay Packers. What an opening game that would have been for the Saints, but they're in Jacksonville, Florida, I understand, playing the Pack. What do you think about the Saints as the season kicks off?
I feel pretty good. You know, what they've been able to do here in just the last day or two to upgrade the secondary. You had Roby, a cornerback out of from the Texans through a trade, and you pick up Desmond Trufant, another veteran cornerback. Those are both cornerbacks. They'll be able to help out. They left preseason preparations with only three corners on the depth chart. So now they've kind of got their numbers up and guys that are quality guys. So, defensively, I feel better about them today than I did about 36 hours ago. So you've got more depth there in the secondary, and Ken Crawley played really well at corner during the preseason. And that front seven is pretty dang solid as long as everybody stays healthy and if Marcus Davenport can stay on the field. And Jameis Winston, you know, you would have liked to have seen more just because they had to cancel last preseason game. So, but that small sample that we got out of Jameis Winston in the preseason looked pretty promising. You would like to have Michael Thomas out there there early in the season. Marquez Callaway looks like kind of a breakout star for the Saints. He'll be their number one guy there. So I think the Saints look like at least a wild card playoff team right now from my point of view.
Luke Johnson, with all respect to Drew Brees, I really don't think the Saints are going to take much of a step back. I think they're going to be highly competitive and in the mix when the end of the year comes around.
Me too. And Patrick, I guess looking at this game, and it's partly because they're not playing in the dome. At the same token, I mean, I think the Saints are, a four-point underdog. I'm kind of perplexed over at the over-under, people really believing in the Saints defense and the Packers. The over-under is only 50. You would think in a game like this, somebody would get to 30 points.
Yeah, I guess 30-20 is possible, you know, something like that. I would expect a fairly high-scoring game. But, you know, I think the Packers are breaking in several new guys on their offensive line and going up against a healthy defensive front for the Saints. Getting Quan Alexander back at linebacker. I like the Saints to be pretty good up front. So I would think that, you know, the Saints had a little bit of advantage in the trenches. So I could see the Saints easily, you know, the defense playing fairly well against Packers.
What's kind of been the talk about Pete Warner from Ohio State? He's a guy, and this is a joke, but I've been wanting to pick him up. You know, in fantasy league, we have individual defensive players in a dynasty league, and because I think he's going to be a tackle machine for a long time. How long before he kind of plays more than he will not play?
You know, I don't know much about him. I know I'm looking here, and I guess he's considered questionable. for the opener. So I don't see much out of him early in the season. Zach Bond really had a good preseason. He'll probably plug in there with Alexander as the weak side linebacker. So I don't think Werner is somebody that will get on the field a whole lot early in the season. Just my take from my point of view.
But it was like with Bond, real quick, Bob, yeah, with Bond, I mean, he was big time out of Wisconsin last year. Didn't play much, but it seems like he is going to step up and be a tackle machine this year.
Yeah. It seemed like things really kind of starting to click for him here in season number two. He played well in the preseason. I would think he'd be an impact guy.
You know, I think one big advantage the Saints have over everybody, guys, and I'd like to get both your input. And you know, you talk a lot about Drew Brees in the past. You talk a lot about all the Saints' talent on the field. But, you know, they've got a coaching staff that's been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Sean Payton, I guess, probably has as much longevity as anybody in the league, Patrick. And, you know, he's a secret weapon, man. As long as he's coaching your football team, you're going to be competitive.
Yeah, and you know he is just going to be just really pressing and really wanting to have a great season this year to kind of prove his worth, you know.
Right, he said
Drew Brees is his quarterback, and he takes a lot of pride. He's a very confident guy. And you're right, that staff he's got is you know, now if they've got Dennis Allen there at defensive coordinator, it seems like there's really a good balance throughout the staff, and it's all basically still there. And Jameis Winston has always been a talented quarterback. If you put him under a Sean Payton for a good two seasons, I would expect him to be a significantly better quarterback.
Right.
You know, this year. And Jameis just looks different. I mean, he's lost weight. He's taken things really seriously. It seems he's matured. I don't think Jameis is ever going to be quite to the Drew Brees level of maturation. But I think, you know, Winston's probably at the best point of his career, you know, that we've seen. And I'm really interested to see what he does once he gets the full complement of weapons around him.
Great point about Sean Payton wanting to prove that he's the secret sauce in the success of the New Orleans Saints. And I just think from what I watched in the preseason, Winston realizes this is his last chance. And, you know, it could be a big deal for him to be successful, Patrick, real quickly with New Orleans this year.
Right, yeah. I mean, he has got that potential for a special season. If he ever cuts down on the interceptions like by half, I mean, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback. I mean, that's what he is.
Right.
So I think Jameis has got an opportunity here to be really good. But if he goes out there and throws his interceptions, it's going to be a really up-and-down season.
All right, Patrick, appreciate your time, man. Get back to moving in. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, everybody, NOLA.com. Great insight on the New Orleans Saints. We'll be bringing that to you all season long. We'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top.
Appreciate Patrick McGee joining us. Good perspective looking at a lot of things Southern Miss faces as they move on in this football season. Appreciate Patrick's time as he's back in the Big Easy reporting for NOLA.com's the digital editor. Third segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill, Chicken Fried Chicken and Country Fried Steak was on the menu today. Jeopardy Play Along starts at 4:30. Today at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Some sports should be on the television also. NFL opens up tomorrow night. You can watch it all at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg, and Laurel Kelly Center joins us now. And a lot to discuss with Kelly. I guess first off, Kelly, you know, what to make of some of the things Coach Will Hall saying this week, self-deprecating, some of it humorous. Yesterday asked when what was the thing that jumped out to him the most when he looked at the tape. He said, what a terrible head coach we have. What a terrible head coach we have. That is being addressed right now. But this just said today after practice today, a little eyebrow raising. This is what Will Hall had to say.
I hope our guys are excited. I'm not excited. My life's on the line. You know what I mean? You know, I feel like every day I wake up that that since I've gotten here, I've let a lot of people down, and we've got to overcome that, and we've got to play better. Because right now, I'm probably the biggest fraud to come through this place in the last 50 years. So we've got to play better and get this program going.
Says he's the biggest, feels like he's the biggest fraud to come through Southern Miss in the last 50 years. Need to read into that at all, Sander? Or, I mean, is just him just kind of spouting frustration with himself?
I think that's what leaders do. Leaders take responsibility for the people that they're in charge of. He didn't deflect to the players. He hasn't made any excuses. He says the buck stops with him. And I think that Mississippians, and indeed Americans in general, when a person humbles themselves and takes responsibility, I think they have a lot of patience and understanding. Just listening to some Southern Miss fans in the past, most recent past, what frustrated a lot of Southern Miss fans is that Coach Hobson never really took responsibility for anything that happened. The coach's name, who we will, are not supposed to mention, who was indeed the biggest fraud
that came through, yes.
Yes. Always claimed that, you know, that Southern Miss, that he had the best staff assembled, and pretty much blamed the players for the lack of production on the field. So what I read into what Will Hall said is he's being a leader. He's not blaming anybody but himself, and he knows what he's got, and he knows that they're not that bad. But that's what leaders do, and I respect the fact that he's done that.
I agree. Good point, Kelly. And let me just throw this in for everybody that may be listening. Give the man a chance. He's coached one football game. Give the man an opportunity to recruit his own players, get his own system in place, and my word, take a deep breath.
Todd Monken started 4-21.
Right.
Larry Fedora started 2-6. Jeff Bauer in his first season, if you count the bowl game the year before, was like 4-8-1.
Yeah, give the man time. My word.
And again, you're talking about him playing, as you just said, Bob, he's playing with Coach Hobson's players.
That's 100%.
And Coach Hobson never really took any responsibility for any of that.
Right.
So, but all that being said, Southern Miss not getting any love in any of the rating services across the country. The Sagarin ratings are out today, and much to the chagrin of Southern Miss fans, only Old Dominion is ranked worse in Conference USA than Southern Miss. We've referred to in years past the Massey ratings, which we refer to, you know, often. Right now, of the 130 teams that play Division I football, Southern Miss, according to the Massey ratings, is 123rd out of 130. Old Dominion is ranked 125th. So thank goodness for the Monarchs at this point. But elsewhere in Conference USA, according to the Massey ratings, Marshall is the best team in the league. They're checking in 61st. Texas San Antonio continues to get love from across the country. The Masseys have UTSA ranked right behind Marshall at 69. Then comes Charlotte at 84, UAB at 85. And a side note here, the Golden Eagles will play, of course, Grambling this weekend, but then Troy comes to town a week from Saturday. Troy is ranked 80th in the latest Massey ratings. Of course, Troy from the Sun Belt Conference. So, again, I respect the fact that Will Hall I think we need to get him some of those little daily aspirations or whatever you call them. They, you know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Coach is not he's not a fraud. He doesn't need to think of himself that way. My word.
No, my word. But nobody,
this was,
you got nowhere to go but up, you know?
This was pretty interesting, what Will Hall said about Trey Lowe. This was in the press conference yesterday. He did not play as bad as what everybody thinks. If you come and watch the tape, there were a lot of things that people could have done to help him. The last pick, the pick six, was humiliating. Everybody thought that was on him. That's part of playing quarterback. But he had a perfect read. We were hot on an overload blitz. He makes the hot read to throw to the back, and the back doesn't look to catch the ball. That's not his fault. That's the running back's fault, and that's my fault for not coaching better. He played extremely hard and bounced back from extreme duress. He made a lot of big throws. He missed some throws. He missed some plays he'd like to have back. We got to get better at the quarterback position. I'm the quarterback coach, so that ultimately falls on me. He's taking up for his quarterback, Kelly. At the same time, you know, with what you said, he knows Trey's got to play better. But there's a lot of things, and again, keyboard warriors, and sometimes I can overlap into that. We don't, and as a former football player, you don't know as a fan what goes on. You don't know. You're just watching a reaction to a reaction to reaction. You don't know what was called. You don't know what was seen. You don't know what was audible. And so sometimes, yeah, we need, as Bob just said, really just to shut our mouth and let them get after it.
And I've never coached, as I've mentioned many times, I've never coached a game of college football. But I have seen, you know, Trey Lowe enough that I think I can, you know that certainly was not a very good game that he played on Saturday. But then again, you know, it was a unanimous vote. I mean, I don't think a whole lot of individuals necessarily played great games. The defense as a unit, you know, I thought played well. But by Will Hall making the comment that we have to get better at the quarterback position, I think that sends a subliminal message to Trey Lowe that, look, you might be the starting quarterback this week, but it's not guaranteed that you're going to be in the future if you don't continue to work. Because, you know, the younger guys are going to push him. But I still, as I mentioned yesterday, I still believe in Trey Lowe, and I think the guy's a stud. I think he's got a really good skill set that it just didn't show up Saturday. And I think it'll change, and quickly.
All right. There is some difficult news involving one of Bob's former Washington players and two of my teammates. It's tough. We were talking about it off air, and you'll bring it this story, but it, you know, it seemed like this was going on a couple years back and really haven't heard on it, and then it's resurfaced really in the last week or two.
Yes, former Washington Redskins running back Clinton Portis, who is a native of Laurel, has pled guilty today to making fraudulent claims to the NFL health care system, health plan, but also being indicted on charges include the former Southern Miss cornerback John Eubanks, former Southern Miss safety Ettrick Pruitt, Karell Buckhalter, who played at Nebraska, I think, but is a native of Collins, and Joe Horn, who had a great career with the New Orleans Saints and a native of Tupelo. They have all been charged with filing fraudulent claims. In fact, the whole system, not just these players, but others included, but the entire fund was fraudulently robbed of $2.5 million. This was all part of a 2006 collective bargaining agreement by the NFL Players Association that would allow players to petition that fund for an additional $350,000 in medical expenses not covered by the league's insurance plan. But it sure doesn't look good for, again, some Southern Miss guys and some players of note. Again, Clinton Portis pleading guilty today. And, you know, we'll see what happens with John Eubanks, Ettrick Pruitt, Karell Buckhalter, and Joe Horn. But usually, you know, the old adage, when the feds get involved, they've got the goods. So we'll see how this plays out.
Do you have any idea why there's such a Mississippi connection, Kelly?
I don't, Bob. Other than you know, the usually players who play together talk to each other.
Well, they must have known one another. Yeah, they must have known each other outside of football.
Eubanks was with the Redskins for a time, and then Ettrick actually, he played for the Seahawks. He actually played in the Super Bowl for the Seahawks, and
I think
Buckhalter played for the Eagles, maybe.
And didn't Eubanks get drafted by the Bengals, Luke? I think
he started off with Washington. I'll research that.
Well, not good news. And
no, it's not.
Kelly, stay on that. We got to report how that works out. But certainly not good news. Here's some good news, guys. Joy Lee McNellis is coming on the Eagle Hour tomorrow, so we know that'll be pretty lively. And then next Wednesday, we've got the play-by-play voice of the Troy Trojans lined up. He'll be joining us on Wednesday, and we're going to have a preview of next week's opponent, Troy University. And a lot of connections there as well. Former assistant athletic director here is now the athletic director there. The former athletic director there, of course, now the athletic director here. We'll be back.
tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on this Wednesday brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training. Good friends, Catherine Maloney, all the staff down at DBAT and D1. Great place to train. Great place to get instructed. Always something going on at DBAT and D1 Training. DBATHattiesburg.com. Proud sponsors of the Eagle Hour. Luke and Bob from the First Bank Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. First Bank been there for you in Mississippi for over a century. And again, it's the home of the Perfect 10, Reggie Collier, and great people out there. They've been with us from the beginning. They'll be there for you. First Bank, proud studio sponsor of the Eagle Hour. If you go to southernmiss.com, you can read the entire Will Hall media conference covering last week's game against South Alabama. Looking forward to Grambling. Talks about some competition. There were some, a few, not a bunch of big changes on the depth chart. Got the game notes from Jack Duggan today. A couple oars, you know, and that's what they go to now, depending on who they're going to start. Narcus Driver, a tight end, but at the fullback position, there's an oar beside him, and Cole Cavallo, who will start at the fullback position. I was a little wondering what happened with the slot wide receiver position. Daquan Bailey Brown was slated to start, but Brad Dennis, who, if you guys don't know who that is, great story. Brad Dennis played at Florence High School. He was a walk-on, earned a scholarship over the offseason, and started at slot receiver, actually led the Eagles with three catches, had some couple of nifty moves. So he's starting at the slot position, but really no changes other than that going in. But anyway, that's all on Coach on southernmiss.com or Coach Hall's press conference. Kelly, what else you got for us? And I guess, you know, Southern Miss fans, as we echoed in that last segment, you got to give the man time.
For sure, and I think people, you know, are reasonable and will do that. You were talking about the Dennis kid, and what I think, you know, he's no bigger than a minute by football standards. He's not a big guy at all, right? So there are so many things about his story that really are encouraging to guys that aren't 6'5 and 240 pounds, you know. So if you do have the heart, And you have the desire and you have the work ethic, there's nothing stopping you. And I love his story, and I love the fact that he's in there, you know, carrying the torch for the little guys. And I'm saying little guys as far as football goes. ESPN commentator Todd McShay is taking a leave of absence for quote-unquote health reasons. It was reported that in the last game that he did for ESPN as a sideline reporter last weekend, they had cut to him a couple of times, and people had made notes that McShay was slurring some words and certainly wasn't on top of his game, shall we say. Some folks even alleged that he might have been under the influence of something that perhaps he shouldn't have been under the influence of while he was working. But nonetheless, McShay is taking a leave of absence from ESPN, and if he is having problems or issues along those lines, we certainly extend to him our best and hope that he can overcome that. But Todd McShay out, at least on a temporary basis, at ESPN. And as you mentioned, Luke, the National Football League season begins tomorrow night with Tampa Bay playing the Dallas Cowboys. Latavius Murray, running back for the New Orleans Saints, apparently no longer with the Saints after the Saints management asked him to restructure his contract and, as it is, take a small pay cut in order to rearrange some things for the Saints, where he promptly said no, he would not do that. So the New Orleans Saints said, good luck. You are no longer a New Orleans Saint. We'll see how that plays out. But right now, they'll have to do without running back Latavius Murray going into the opener this weekend.
Tampa and Dallas tomorrow night.
Tampa and Dallas.
Right. Who said that it wasn't fair? I was doing a Google search trying to figure out who it was. Somebody in the national media said it wasn't fair for the Cowboys to have to open with the Buccaneers. Not just... Oh my goodness!
You know how for years I have talked about how Tom Brady's the golden boy and he always gets everything he wants. And again, I respect his accomplishments, but I mean it's like they bend over backward for this guy. All right, so I was always under the impression that if you won the Super Bowl and were the world champions, that just because of that, your schedule next year was going to be really tough, right? I mean, based on all the way that works, and the teams who are weaker would get weaker schedules the next year. Tampa Bay's schedule this year is the third easiest in the NFL. Now, I don't know how they determine all that stuff. And as far as I know, Tampa doesn't play Cincinnati. But
that's a big factor there, Kelly.
Yeah, well, yeah, and everybody's the easiest schedule. But here you got Tampa Bay, the defending world champions, now getting ready to defend their title with the third easiest schedule. I mean, does anything ever work against Tom Brady?
How many rings will he have after this year, Kelly? How many championships will Brady win after they win it this year?
I don't
six?
Know, Bob. I just
six,
I don't.
Seven, maybe, I think.
The same number of career wins Ellis Johnson has as a head coach. Maybe not even that. Maybe more than that.
He doesn't have any.
No, he's an over.
After Saturday, Will Hall will be the third head coach at Southern Miss in the past 365 days to surpass Ellis Johnson in career wins as a head coach at the University of Southern Mississippi.
And really former coach Scotty Walden is at Austin Peay. Of course, they're playing hotty-totty this weekend.
All right.
So that ought to be,
go Scotty!
Joely McNellis on the Eagle Hour tomorrow. Also, we're going to update you on all the activities that are going to be taking place on the campus Saturday, so you don't want to miss that. And we'll be back at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.